إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلاة ربي وسلامه عليه أما بعد فبفضل الله تعالى ومنه وكرمه سبحانه we continue from the reading of the benefits, يعني derived from Surah Al-Fatiha by the Imam Al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan this being the second lesson of our beloved brothers in Tower Hamlets وفقكم الله تعالى جميعا وسددكم ووفقكم إلى ما يحب ويرضى and the Imam he began his book after saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم he said بعض الفوائد من سورة الفاتحة. He mentioned that just some selected benefits taken from سورة الفاتحة. And then he started with the statement of Allah سبحانه وتعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan after praising Allah سبحانه وتعالى and sending peace and salutations upon the messenger he mentions وهذه الرسالة تختص بيان فوائد سورة الفاتحة that this treatise that is before us is to do with the benefits taken from سورة الفاتحة and he said that it's without doubt that this is a tremendous surah وَسُمِّيَتْ بِالْفَاتِحَة and it was mentioned that it is the opener لِأَنَّهَا افْتِتَاحُ أو افْتَتَحَ بِهَا الْمُصْحَفَ الشَّرِيفِ and that is point number one Some of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. Some of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. So the first one is Al-Fatiha. You mean? Al-Fatiha. Why was it called Fatiha? Because quite literally is the opening of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions Hafdallah Ta'ala وَتُسَمَّى بِسَبَعْ مَثَانِي And it is referred to as the seven often repeated verses. Because it has seven verses. And he mentioned جَلَ جَلَالُ in Surah Al-Hajj, Surah Al-Hijr 87 وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبَعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي That we gave you those seven often repeated verses. وَالْقُرْآنِ العظيم and the tremendous and noble Quran and it was said he says here it was referred to as the seven after repeated verses because quite literally the servant he repeats them in every single salah that he prays and the significance of that cannot be emphasized enough because there is not a prayer that you shall pray in your entire life, even if it is the salah that has no ruku' or sujood in it, like salatul janazah. And there is that prayer that you will never pray that will be prayed upon you, which is your janazah. Except inside of it, the people will stand and they will make this da'a. Wallahu Akbar. So when something is repeated, it's an indication of its importance. And you're going to realize, bi'idnihi subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mawla, what it contains from the description of Allah Jalla Jalalu and how that should have an effect upon the servant. We're going to go into details about this in the end, inshaAllah. And then he mentions Hafdallah Ta'ala and from the names of it, yani Surah Al-Fatiha likewise, is Ummul Qur'an. Is referred to as the mother of the Qur'an. And he says, and the reason is that the mother of something is the origin of it, that everything returns back to. And actually, Surah Al-Fatiha, everything that is inside of the Quran, literally, physically goes back to Surah Al-Fatiha. We'll explain, inshaAllah ta'ala, how and why. Amazing. Amazing it is, subhanAllah. And then he mentions, وَتُسَمَّى بِالصَّلَاةِ and it is referred to as the prayer, as-salah. And we're going to come back to this shortly, inshallah ta'ala. Do you mean? And likewise from its names is Al-Kafiyah. Al-Kafiyah. Meaning that which is sufficient and suffices. And likewise it has been referred to as Ar-Ruqiyah. Ar-Ruqiyah. I will mention this in a bit of detail shortly. So far you have Barakallahu Fikum. It's called Al-Fatiha and is referred to as the Sab' Mathani, is referred to as Umm Al-Quran, is referred to as As-Salah, is referred to as Al-Kafiyah, is referred to as Ar-Ruqiyah, and the description of them are in Bukhari and Muslim. As for the mention that it has been referred to as As-Salah, then is the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he reports on the authority of his Lord Jalla Jalalu in the Hadith Al-Qudsi. Point number three, what is the definition of Hadith Al-Qudsi? And what is the difference between Hadith Al-Qudsi and the Hadith of the Messenger? Shaykh Nasir Fawzan, he was asked, مَا الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ حَدِيثِ الْقُدْسِي وَحَدِيثَ الرَّسُولِ. What is the difference between the Hadith Al-Qudsi and the Hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he replied, حَفِدَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَدِيثِ الْقُدْسِي هُوَ الَّذِي يَرْوِيهِ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عَنِ اللَّهِ. Then is the narration that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates on the authority of Allah. And then he mentions, يَرْوِيهِ عَنِ اللَّهِ جَلَى وَعَلَى بِلَفْدِهِ وَمَعْنَاهِ, in its wording and likewise its meaning. Both of them are from Allah. The Hadith Al-Qudsi is that which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam narrates from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and both its wording and its meaning is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then he mentions, as for the hadith, which is not Hadith Al-Qudsi, then ma'nahu wahyan, its meaning that it contains is revelation. But the wording is from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like he said, jala jalalu wa ma yantiq anil hawa, he does not speak from his desires. In huwa illa wahyun yuha, is revelation given unto him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, so the difference between the Quran, for example, and Hadith Al-Qudsi now, because we said both of them, the Hadith Al-Qudsi is that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates from the speech of Allah, and its wording and its meaning is from Allah. So now we ask a question. So what's the difference between Hadith Al-Qudsi and Qur'an? So he said, Abdullah ta'ala, وَالْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْحَدِيثِ الْقُدْسِ عِدَّةِ, يعني فروق. He said, and the differences between the Qur'an and Hadith Al-Qudsi, they are many as follows. First of all, the Quran in and of itself is a miracle. In and of itself is a miracle. As for the Hadith al-Qudsi, then it doesn't contain that miraculous aspect to it like the Quran does. And then he mentions what is intended by that in terms of its, yani, its love. As for the second difference, that the Quran is as such that you can worship Allah Azza wa Jal with it. What does that mean? You can't enter into Salah and say Allahu Akbar and read Surah Al-Fatiha and say Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Qala Allah Inni haramtu dhulm. Right? You can't worship Allah Azza wa Jal with that speech, which is the Hadith Al-Qudsi, whereas you can do with the Quran. And then he says, Al-Quran muta'abbid bitilawatihi. And you can actually physically worship Allah Azza wa Jal by its recitation. And you cannot do that for the Hadith Al-Qudsi in terms of its recitation. And specifically the Quran, he says, thirdly, the Quran has come to us and it is mutawatir. Is mutawatir. What's the definition of mutawatir? Yeah, two-way street. Now, tafadhal. Jameen, in its origin, yani linguistically, it means and it's reoccurring. They refer to the rain, yani tawatir, that it came down recurringly, sahih. And in terms of yani, the istilahi definition, Jameen, it is an indication that there are such an abundant number of narrators in every single level of that narration, it is impossible for them to unite upon a lie or a mistake. It is impossible for them to unite upon a lie or a mistake. So the Quran has been narrated as such that its narration itself, on every single level of its narration, is tawatur. There are such an abundant number of narrators. It's impossible for them to have ever united upon a lie or a mistake. And that is part of the preservation of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whereas that does not apply, that condition does not apply to the Hadith Al-Qudsi. Because there can be Hadith Al-Qudsi which is Hassan. And other than it, yani, just like it would apply to any other narration. Then he mentions, fourthly, that the Quran should not be held except by the one who is up in a state of tahara, purification. And likewise recited, yani, ideally. But at the very least, yani, physically to hold it, you shouldn't hold the mushaf except with being in a state of purity, whereas, and if you're to do so with hadith or other than it, yani, labas, there's nothing wrong with doing so. So if you had wudu, you should avoid picking up the mushaf. If you were to pick up Bukhari, any labas with him. Although I ideally have wudu. Shakli na'am. As for the meaning of Qudsi, then is that which is sacred. And that which is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is pure and untainted. And as we read in last week's lesson, that the Quran had been a shifa, had been quite literally and physically a cure for the ailments of the people. And from that, barakallahu feekum, is the ailments that are both physical and the ailments that are spiritual. As for the cure of the ailments that are, yani, physical, then the Quran fulfills that role bifadlillah ta'ala wa manihi wa karmihi. Sheikh Sari Fawzan, he mentions here that it was referred to as being ruqiyah. a form of incantation that a person he recites, yani du'a that a person he recites, in the hope that Allah Azza wa Jal, by way of making that du'a, Allah will cure him. And this was authenticated from a group of Sahaba who were travelers, and they entered upon a group of the Arab Bedouins, and they requested that they found residence with them briefly, and the people refused. But they found that their leader had been stung by a scorpion, and they heard that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were those that had knowledge of ruqya, healing by way of incantation, yani making da'a. So one of the Sahaba, he stepped forward and he mentioned to him that you refused, however, to give us abode, yani shelter and what have you. And then he said to them that I'm not going to do ruqya upon you except if you are cured, that you give us a due reward. So he made it a condition, barakallahu fiqh, that they give him a certain amount of sheep. فَقَرَعَ عَلَيْهِ الْفَاتِحَ. Then they read upon him Al-Fatiha. And قَامَ كَأَنَّمَا بُعِثَ مِنْ عِقَالٍ. And the man, he stood up being cured. So when they return back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaykh Fawzani says, hey, أخبروه بما حصل, that they informed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what had taken place. That they read upon this man Surah Al-Fatiha and he had been cured from the scorpion sting. And he said to them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ أَنَّهَا رُقِيَة. What was it that caused you to know that Al-Fatiha is ruqya, is that which will bring about cure? And for that reason it's referred to as Al-Ruqya. Point number five. One should not seek ruqya if he has the ability to do so. He mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it would be 70,000 from his nation, and then he multiplied it by 70,000 by 70,000 in the akhirah. They will enter into paradise without being brought to account, neither will they be punished. And from them was the one who did not seek ruqya for somebody to read upon them, but rather that they read upon themselves and they put their trust in Allah. And likewise, they did not do cauterization. They did not burn themselves in order to cure themselves from wounds. And what is connected to that as well is that the origin is that nobody should charge for ruqya. What happened here with the Sahaba is not an evidence of the people taking ruqya as a form of employment. It's wrong. It's not from the guidance of the Sahaba or the Salaf. And Shaykh Rabihi was asked about this specifically. And one of the Mashaykh, he had a small risala that Shaykh Rabihi spoke well of at the time. And he clarified inside of there that it was not from the guidance of the Sahaba to do so, neither the Salaf after them. They would not take ruqya as an occupation. And they would not charge except and only when and if Allah Azza wa Jal had cured the person. As for what the people they do now, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, they have taken what is in reality a form of relief and ta'awuna ala birri wa taqwa as a way of consuming the wealth of the people, and upon many occasions, bil batil, in falsehood. You can do ruqya upon yourself. And that is because the origin of ruqya is that you are making da'a. And there is nobody who is more deserving for the da'a for you to be accepted than you. Make da'a for yourself. And if it is difficult, then you recite whatever you can, even if it's just Fatiha. Barakallahu feek. As for the mention of the fact that it was referred to as as-salah, that it was referred to as the prayer, then again is the hadith al-Qudsi. The Shaykh Fawzan, he mentions here that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said on the authority of his Lord, that Allah Jalla wa Ala said, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةِ يعني الفاتحة. He said, Jalla Jalalu, I have divided al-Fatiha between me and the servant. بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِسْفَيْن. I've divided into two parts. One part is for my servant and one part is for me. And then he said, فَإِذَا قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And when the servant says, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of Al-Alameen. Qala Allah, Hamidani Abdi, that my servant, he has praised me. Wa idha qala Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and if he says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Qala Allah, Athna Alayya Abdi, that my servant has and he exalted me and spoken well of me. And when he says, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, he says, Jalla Jalalu, Majadani Abdi, that my servant has exalted me and glorified my praise and mention. And when he says, Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'een, that you alone we worship and you alone we ask for your aid and assistance, Jalla Jalalu, he says, Hada bayni wa bayna abdi nisfain wa li abdi ma sa'al. And this is how I have divided the Surah Al-Fatiha into two parts between me and my servant. And after that, let the servant ask for anything he desires and is for him. Allahu Akbar. And the hadith is reported in Muslim on the authority of Abi Huraira. So when Allah Azza wa Jal, he divided the prayer between him and his servant, it was an indication of its significance and its importance. Because he, Jalla Jalalu, as you're going to come to realize, he doesn't have to do anything for the servants. But he does so, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his mercy. And Shaykh Fawzan, he says here, that this is certainly a tremendous chapter of Quran, and rather is a condition, is a pillar rather from the pillars of the prayer itself, and is repeated in every single prayer that the Muslim will ever make. And all of that is an indication of its greatness. And then he says, and this is point number 6, the Surah Al-Fatiha contains all three categories of At-Tawheed, all the three categories of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are Tawheed Ar-Rububiyyah, the Tawheed to single Allah out in His Lordship, that He alone is the Creator, Sustainer, Provider, Controller of all affairs, the grantor of life and the causer of death, subhanah. And the second one is the Tawheed Al-Uluhiyyah, is to single Allah out, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every single act of worship that be directed to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone without partners. And is that the servant turns to Allah alone and asks Allah alone and sacrifices to Allah alone and fears Allah alone, and he praises Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, and relies upon Allah Jalla Jalalu alone. And other than it, from every single act of worship, is that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is singled out alone in those acts of worship. And thirdly, and is really the focus of today, and that is to do with the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he started this tremendous surah, and we'll get into Bismillah, yani inshallah ta'ala, in that which is to come, with his praise. And then he went directly into the mention of a specific name from his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is Ar-Rab. Point number 6. What is the difference between Alhamd, or 7 rather, what's the difference between Alhamd and Shukr? What's the difference between gratitude, I'm giving it away, gratitude and thanks. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in Madaris Sarikin, he said, وَالْفَرْقُ بَيْنَهُمَا أَنَّ شُكْرَ عَمْ مِنْ جَهَةِ أَنْوَاعِهِ وَأَسْبَابِهِ. He says the real distinction between hamd and shukr, that hamd, the shukr rather, to be yani, generally thankful, yani, is far more general. And rather there is yani, there's a aspect of that which is specific here, yani, when it comes to praise. So you can thank somebody, for example, and the difference between the two is that the shukr yakun bil qalbi khudu'an wa istikana wa bil lisani wa thana wa i'tiraf yani bil hawa yani jawarih ta'ata wa inqiyada. He said that the when you praise somebody, he said you generally do it with your heart and you do it with your tongue, you can say thank you to them. And he says, and there is an aspect where sahih, a person will praise that individual, affirming yani, that which they are deserving yani, from praise. And then he mentions, and that which is connected to yani, the limbs is general obedience and submission. So for example, a person would say, Shakarna Allah, that we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the life that He's given us and the hearing that we have and the sight that we have and the knowledge that we have. And He's the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who is deserving of praise. Jalla Jalalu. And then he mentions that generally praise is that which is generally connected to the kindness and benevolence and the granting of blessing that you are given. And then he says, and all of that is all connected and encompassing in hamd, true gratitude. But the opposite does not apply. And then he mentions, and that is because hamd, in its reality, its origin is that which it comes truly from the heart, is said upon the tongue, and is seen upon the limbs. So when you study Surah Al-Fatiha, actually if you study anything in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to ask yourself, what is it that you are actually studying? And in this regard, who are you coming to know? And why? Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahmatullah ta'ala, لَيْسَتْ حَاجَ الْأَرْوَاحِ قَطْ إِلَى شَيْءٍ أَعْظَمْ مِنْهَا إِلَى مَعْرِفَةِ رَبِّهَا. He said that the souls are not in need of having knowledge of anything more than they have when it comes to them knowing their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no greater need that we have. That is the greatest need that we all have, wallahi. And then he mentions, and that is because their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is fatiruha. He is our originator subhanahu wa ta'ala and creator. And you find that only inside of that which He loves, and inside of His remembrance, and only in obtaining His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَطَلَبُ الْوَسِيلَ إِلَيْهِ, Only when we seek a means to him Jalla Jalalu, or we seek zulfa indahu, we seek his pleasure and a high rank and lofty status with him, only then will the servant truly be happy and pleased. And then he says, وَلَا سَبِيلِ إِلَى هَذَا. And there is no way for the servant to possibly obtain any of that, except that he came to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how does he know him? How does he know him? He says that he knows him bi-awsafi. He knows him by his description, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knows him by his names and his attributes. Jalla Jalalu. Then he said, فَكُلَّمَا كَانَ الْعَبْدِ بِهَا أَعْلَمْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ. And every time the servant had more knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani more knowledge of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. وَلَهُ أَطْلَبْ. And therefore, he will seek Allah azza wa jal out greater than he would without knowing his names. وَإِلَيْهِ أَقْرَبْ. And he will certainly be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُلَّمَا كَانَ لَهُ أَنْكَرْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَجْهَلْ. And every time that he didn't know Allah and how he described himself subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of his book, then he will be concerning Allah, his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, even more ignorant. وَإِلَيْهِ أَكْرَهْ وَمِنْهُ أَبْعَدْ. And he will be more detested to his Lord, and he will be more distant from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he started and he said, Alhamdu, the all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was not for fun. And there is a reason why. Because look what the meaning of praise, true gratitude, and glorification of Allah azza wa jal means. And then you understand why we have been told to repeat this 17 times a day, bare bone minimum. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَمَعْنَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, the meaning of all praise belongs to Allah. Then he says, Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir, he mentions that the meaning of Alhamdulillah is that شُكْرَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى خَالِصًا. The praise is due to Allah azza wa jalla, and gratitude is due to him specifically. دُونَ سَائِرْ مَا يُعْبَدْ مِن دُونِهِ. Specific praise and gratitude is due to Allah above everything that which is worshipped besides him. وَدُونَ كُلِّ مَا بَرَأَ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. And he is deserving of that praise, and that praise only belongs to him because he has freed himself from everything else from his creation. وَبِمَا أَنْعَمْ عَلَى الْعِبَادِهِ مِنَ النَّعِيمِ. And why does he deserve that praise? He says, due to that which he subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the servant from his blessings. أَلَّتِي لَا يُحْصِيهَا الْعَدَدِ. From that which, yani, there is no number that could truly enumerate the amount of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conveyed upon us. Wallahi. Wallahi. So when you say these words, Alhamdulillah, you're not just saying praise belongs to Allah. No. You're saying praise belongs to Allah, the amount of blessings he has granted me and more. And then he mentions concerning those blessings, وَلَا يُحِيطُ بِهَا يعني بِعَدَدِهَا غَيْرُهُ أَحَدٌ. And as for those blessings that he has granted us subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody besides him Jalla Jalalu is even possible for them to enumerate them and count them. And why is that? Because he alone subhanahu wa ta'ala, who works Jalla Jalalu fi tasihil alat li ta'atihi, he is the one that has granted the servants every means and ability and faculty for us to be able to worship him. So imagine this. We often say the reason we've been created is to worship Allah. But we don't realize everything else that was created was made for us to worship him. And we're going to mention this from the Kalam al-Sa'di, inshallah. And this is how the Salaf they are. This is how the ulama, the sunnah are, bifadlillah ta'ala. They just narrate from each other, bifadlillah ta'ala, until they meet their Lord. And then he continues. So he's the one that facilitated for them every single faculty that he grants in order for them to worship him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَمْكِين جَوَارِحِ الْأَجَسَامِ الْمُكَلِّفِينَ لِأَدَاءِ فَرَائِدِ. And he's the one, not only has he granted you all the faculties that you need to worship him, he has granted your bodies the ability to even physically worship him, from that which is connected to the obligation of his worship, from what he obligated upon you. Then he says, وَمَعَ مَا بَسَطَ لَهُمْ فِي دُنْيَاهُمْ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ وَغَذَاهُمْ بِهِ مِنَ النَّعِيمِ الْعِيشِ مِنْ غَيْرِ إِسْتِحْقَاقِهِمْ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ. And this is the joke. The real joke of everything is, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوْتَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, is that he is the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has allotted to the servants everything that they desired inside of the worldly life from provision. He has nourished them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and cultivated them upon nothing other than his blessings. Whilst in reality, they had no right upon Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him to do so. And then he says, and along with that, نَبَّأَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ وَدَعَاهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. And on top of that, he's the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that yani, he still sent to them, yani, prophets, and called them to that which he called them to, yani, to the salvation of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his pleasure. And then he said, and not only does he call them to that, he says, rather he calls them, من الأسباب المؤدية إلى دوام الخلود في دار المقيم في نعيم المقيم. دار المقام في نعيم المقيم. And is that he calls them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to that which will facilitate them and allow them to enter into that ultimate reward in that station that does not come to an end, which is in the abode of absolute blessing and bliss in his paradise. Then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَلِرَبِّنَا الْحَمْدِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ أَوَّلًا وَآخِرًا. And in this regard, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of praise and thanks and gratitude in the beginning and in the end, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam al-Sa'di, he says here, that alhamd lillahi ta'ala is that you praise him, subhana, ala sifati al-kamal, due to the what he contains, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the most perfect and complete of description. Wa bi af'alihi ad-da'ira bayn al-fadli wal-adl. And the fact that his actions, they do not escape anything other than his virtue and his justice. فَلَوْ الْحَمْدُ الْكَامِلْ بِجَمِيعِ الْوُجُوهِ. And to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is all praise and gratitude from every perceivable angle. And he is a Rabb. Allah Azza wa Jal is a Rabb. He is the Lord. And this is point number 8. What is the definition of a Rabb? If that's what Hamd was, what is the definition of a Rabb? He said, a Rabb, huwa murabbi jami' al-alameen. Then he is the cultivator of al-alameen. And al-alameen, like Muhammad Abdul Wahhabi mentioned, he says, is kullu ma siwa Allah. Is everything that is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alameen. He is the cultivator, yani the Lord, or the cultivating Lord, you could say even, of everything that is not him. Because to him belongs al-qayyumiyyah. And we'll come to that shortly, inshallah. So he says that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the cultivator of everything that is in existence, yani besides himself. And then he mentions here, yani Imam al-Sa'di, wahum man siwa Allah
And they are everybody that is not Allah. The alameen is everything and everyone that is not Allah. Bi khalqihi lahum. Because he created them. So the minute that anybody worship anybody besides Allah, just ask the guy, is the guy you're worshipping, is he created? If the answer is less, then he cannot be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't deserve to be worshipped. As for my Lord, he's a Rabb, the Lord, the cultivator, the creator subhanahu. Then he mentioned, and that is because he subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. وَعِدَادِهِ لَهُمَ الْآلَاتِ And he granted for them every single faculty that they would need in order for them to survive. وَإِنْعَامِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالنِّعَمِ الْعَظِيمَةِ And the fact that he granted them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the most tremendous of blessing, أَلَّتِي لَوْ فَقَدُوهَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمُ الْبَخَاءِ And he said, and it's not just ordinary blessings. The blessings that Allah has given us and why he's deserving of that praise is because, lo, if it's the case that we were to not have those blessings, it simply will not, we will not simply be able to live, will not exist. فَمَا بِهِمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْهُ تَعَالَى And everything that they possess from blessing, from that which they have been granted, is solely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number nine. The cultivation of Allah Azza wa Jal is of two types. وَتَرْبِيَتُهُ تَعَالَى لِخَلْقِهِ نَوْعًا The cultivation of Allah of His creation is of two types. There's that which is عَامَّة وَخَاصَّة There's that which is general cultivation. And there is a specific cultivation. As for the specific cultivation, as for the general cultivation, al-amma, is the fact that he has created them, and he has created for them the creation, and he has provided for them, and he has guided them to, that which inside of it is their benefit for them to even be able to survive and remain in the worldly life. That is the general cultivation of Allah. That He has created them. He has created the creation for them. He has provided for them. And He has guided them to everything that they need to survive in the worldly life. As for the specific cultivation of Allah, of the creations, why He is Ar-Rabb, and why He didn't say Alhamd, Lillah, yani Rabb, he could have chosen Al-Aziz, he could have chosen in Ar-Rahman, Al-Hakim, but he chose Rabb, Al-Alamin. He says, as for the second cultivation, then is the cultivation of His dear beloved servants, Awliya'ihi, Subhanah. فَيُرَبِّيهِمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ So he cultivates them upon iman. وَيُوَفِّقْهُمْ لَهُ And he grants them success and ability for them to believe. So never be fooled. You did not guide yourself. You did not say to yourself, I'm going to be upright. You did not say from yourself, that you're going to abandon sin, and that you're going to bark upon the sunnah, and that you're going to learn the aqeedah salafiyyah muhammadiyyah. All of that is from Allah Jalla Jalalu. And that's why he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ You will never have the ability. And he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerning the revelation, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ It's nothing other than a reminder for the whole of everything that is in creation and existence. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ For whoever from amongst you desires to be upright. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ And you will never desire to be upright. Except that Allah designed it for you. So from the specific cultivation of Allah Azza wa Jal for you, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, is that He allowed you to believe. And that he perfects that iman for them, he says here, yani Imam al-Sa'di. And that he pushes away from them everything that will turn them away from that iman. And everything that will be a perilous yani obstacle upon this path between him and the servant. See, and then he says, وَحَقِيقَتُهَا, the reality of this cultivation is تَرْبِيَةُ التَّوْفِيقُ لِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ, is that he cultivates the servant to be able to perform every kind of goodness. وَعِصْمَةٌ مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ, and that he protects the servant from every type of evil. Point number nine. Why is the du'a of the vast majority of the prophets and salihin in the Quran, why do they mention Rabbana? Why do they mention Rabbana? And he says here, يعني Imam Sa'di, he says, وَلَعَلَى هَذَا الْمَعْنَى هُوَ السِّرُّ فِي كَوْنِ أَكْثَرْ أَدِيعِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِاللَّفْتِ الرَّبِّ. And he says, and perhaps this is the secret behind the fact that the du'a of the majority of the prophets in the Quran, you find inside of their du'a is the statement, رَبَّنَا رَبِّي فَغْفِلِّي إِلَىٰ آخِرِ. Right? رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Right? Constantly mentioning Ar-Rabb. Why? He says, so perhaps this is the secret behind why the majority of the du'a of the prophets contain Ar-Rabb. Then he says, فَإِنَّ مَطَالَبَتَهُمْ فَإِنَّ مَطَالَبَهُمْ كُلَّهَا دَاخِرَ تَحْتَ رُوبِيَّتِهِ الْخَاصَةِ. And he says, and that is because really, everything that they would ask of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes under this cultivation which is specific for them. And that is what the statement, رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, it indicates. And what does it mean that he is the Rabb? And what does it mean, the Tawheed al-Rubiyyah, what does it mean? And that is point number 10. He says, is انفراد بالخلق وتدبير والنعم وكمال الغنى وتمام فقر العالمين إليه بكل وجه والاعتبار. And what does it mean that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is our Lord? And the one deserving of that lordship is that he alone is the creator, the controller of everything in existence, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grant of every blessing, and to him belongs absolute perfect self-sufficiency. And that cannot take place except that the servant realizes wa tamama faqr aw faqr al-arabin ilayhi bi kulli wajhin wal i'tibar, is that the servant and everything that is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely and utterly impoverished to him subhanahu wa ta'ala from every perceivable angle. And Ibn Qayyim, he mentions, when it came to the importance of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to seek your permission. We're going to go in a little bit, you know. طيب. He says, Ibn Qayyim, he says, وَتَأَمَّلْ, he says, ponder briefly. He says, and look at your condition. He said, if it was the case that your joy and your happiness and the happiness that you find in your life and in the blessings that you have been granted He mentioned when you came to know that all of that is connected to your ability to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Him, singling Him out without partners. Only then were you able to obtain happiness, joy, and a happy life. Then he says, and that is because the servant, he cannot possibly live without knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and without singling Him out. وَالْأُنْسْ بِهِ وَالشَّوْقْ إِلَى لِقَائِهِ. And the servant cannot live without finding solace with his Lord and yearning to meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاجْتِمَاعَ الْقَلْبِ وَالْهِمَّةُ عَلَيْهِ. And the servant cannot truly live until he begins to be able to gather his heart. It's a very deep expression, you know. That he gathers his heart before his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that his Lord Jalla Jalalu is the most important thing to him. Allahu Akbar. Then he says, Hafidhullah ta'ala, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, فَإِنْ أَنْكَدَ الْعِيشِ. He said, and if it's the case that he feels that now he's, yani, he's regressing in terms of his, yani, his life and his living. He says, then that is an indication that fundamentally that something has taken place inside of his heart. Because now his heart is disheveled and it is seeking and it cannot find. He says, and that is because وَهَمُّهُ مُفَرَّقْ عَنْ ذَٰلِكَ. Is because the attention that his heart is given is not to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's departed away from knowing Him Jalla Jalalu. Then he says that the good life and the beneficial life, وَقُرَّةُ الْعَيْنِ, and the coolness of one's eyes and his happiness and joy and bliss will only happen when he obtains that coolness and tranquility of being with his Habib subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if it's the case, and it's a nice expression, he says even if his heart was to be given to multiple individuals, right, that they were to share in his love, nobody will be able to fill that place. Nah. And then he says, and that is because the true heart of the believer finds no tranquility, finds no happiness and joy, finds no ease and solace, except with knowing its Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning to Him alone and worshipping Him. And for that reason, the people will continue to live, and he says it literally, a life of anxiety and depression and sorrow up until they turn to Allah by knowing Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they were to do so, then they would live a life of goodness and happiness and bliss. And Ibn Rajab, he said, وَأَفْضَلُ الْعِلْمِ عِلْمِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That the greatest of all knowledge is to have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ عِلْمِ بِأَسْمَائِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَصِفَاتِهِ وَفَعَالِهِ. And is that the servant, he knows his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala with his names, attributes, and in accordance to his actions. And he knows how, yani, what it is that Allah Azza wa Jalla does. He says, أَلَّتِي تُوجَبْ لِصَاحِبِهِ يعني معرفة عفوا تُوجَبْ لِصَاحِبِهِ مَغْفِرَةَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَخَشَتِهِ وَمَحَبَّتِهِ وَهِيبَتِهِ وَإِجْرَالِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ وَالتَّبْتِيلِ إِلَيْهِ وَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَيْهِ. And you could say that is point number 12. What is the point of even knowing Allah Azza wa Jalla in the first place, except for what Ibn Rajab, he mentions here? There is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will bring about for his companion the mercy of Allah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst being in a state of awe of Him, that the servant loves Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he's awestruck of Him subhanahu. So he glorifies Him the glorification that he is deserving, and that he places his trust upon Him or in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and he's patient with Him subhanahu, and he's pleased with that which He, Jalla Jalalu, has granted him. And he does not busy with himself with other than that. And Ibn Qayyim, he goes on to mention how knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have effects upon the believer as his follows. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that upon occasion, Allah informs the servants of His character and His essence and His names and His attributes and His actions. And he expresses that by informing them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of his greatness and his might and his power. He says, and this should cause the servant to break himself and humble himself between his Lord. That you'll find if the servant was to ponder over the magnitude of Allah, he will humble his voice in his presence. وَيَذُوبَ الْكِبَرُ كَمَا يَذُوبَ الْمِنْحِ فِي الْمَاءِ. At any form of arrogance that he had and pride that he had inside of his heart, he said it will certainly erode away the same way you put salt into water and it completely and utterly disintegrates. He says, upon occasion, Allah speaks of his names and his attributes and his actions, and he mentions the perfection of those actions and those names and those attributes from that which is indication of the perfection of his essence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does this do to the servant? Or what should it do to the servant when you come to know your Lord, subhanahu? That when you knew how perfect he was, he says that the servant only increases in the love of his Lord. And his love goes from strength to strength, because he has come to know that he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one that is the possessor of those perfect and most beautiful of description, the one deserving of praise from every perceivable angle. فَيُصْبِحْ فَأَدَ عَبْدِهِ فَارِغًا إِلَّا مِنْ مَحَبَّتِهِ. So you find that the heart of such a servant, in connection to knowing his Lord, the heart is completely and utterly empty except for loving Allah. And he said, فَإِذَا أَرَادَ مِنْهُ غِيرًا يُعَلِّقْ بِتِلْكَ الْمَحَبَّ بِهِ وَأَبَى قَلْبُ وَحْشَاهُ ذَلِكَ كُلُّ الْإِبَاءِ. He said, and if it's the case that jealousy was required for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal from the servant, the servant's heart is full of love of him, Jalla Jalalu, and he doesn't desire anybody else, and he doesn't settle for anybody else, he doesn't love anybody else above him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because his heart would not allow him to. So he refuses. He refuses and he protests against that. And when he shows you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his description of his mercy and his gentleness and benevolence and kindness, he said this should increase the servant in his hope in his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, the servant is filled with having hope in turning to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obtaining his mercy. So he describes his hope that he has in Allah Azza wa Jal is like a sharpened blade. That's as sharp as can be. Because he has come to know the description of his benevolence, his kindness, his gentleness to his servants. And this is what will allow the servant to continue on his path back to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, having hope in the acceptance of his actions. Like the servant who is a farmer, who sows seeds upon a field. How would you sow your seeds upon the field if you knew, bi'idhnillah ta'ala al-mawla, your harvest will be good? You'll take every opportunity, barakallahu feek, because you have hope, compared to the one that he doesn't think that the harvest will be good. So what he produces from actions is little. He says, and then upon occasion, he describes himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning his justice, mentioning his ability, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reprimand the servants in due and equal course of that which has appeared from them, from transgression. And he mentions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his anger and his rage, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentions his punishment from that which should break the souls of the servant that calls him to nothing other than evil. And if he does not break such a soul, which calls you to evil, by remembering the punishment of your Lord, and how swift he is in account, and how he takes fair and equal retribution, subhanah, at the very least, knowing his Lord like this should allow him to at least be weakened in the following of his lowly desires. Why? Because he understands that that anger that he possesses is greater than any lowly desire that the servant may seek. So what time does he have for play and for jest? And what time does he have to be diligent upon obtaining that which was haram, when he knew this was the description of his Lord? So he's full of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in glorification of him. And he stays away from everything that which he has stayed away from his most perfect of description in this regard. And upon occasion, he describes himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reminds the servants of the covenant they have taken from their Lord, and this contract that you have from him. And they are reminded of his advice that he has given to fear him, subhanahu. And they are reminded of his mercy by the sending of the prophets and messengers, and the fact that he sent down the books and sent down for you a legislation from that which will cause you and allow you to be able to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stay away from his prohibitions, and then to call to this path of the prophets and messengers and to advise with it and to be patient upon it. I told you, be patient. Sah? Intabi, be patient. And to be patient upon it. And he does so in his remembrance, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in yani glorification of him. And he believes everything that Allah and his messenger have spoken of. So he races to fulfill the commands of Allah and stays away from his punishment. And upon occasion, he reminds them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is the one that hears all and sees all and knows all. And this should ignite within the servant shyness of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, that perhaps he may gaze upon the servant in a way that displeases him subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that he will hear from you a statement from that which he dislikes, and there is nothing that is hidden from him from that which you conceal or that which you make apparent. So remember the swiftness of his accountability subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember that nothing is hidden from him, even the most minute of movement and the smallest of statement, all of it is in danger of being weighed in front of him. And because of that, the servant understands and he knows that before him is the scales of his legislation. So he does not lose them, and he doesn't give in. And pay attention here, because you hear this all the time, but I'm just human. Sahih, you're human. Who said you're not? No, they said you're an angel. Right? We know that you're human. He says, and because he knows the mizan of Allah, the scales of Allah, and his judgment is so precise and it's so fair, he says he has no time that he may return back to hukum al-tabi'i wal-hawa, that this is how I was created, and he follows his lowly desires. And upon occasion, he reminds us of that accountability and that standing before him, and how he subhanahu wa ta'ala will drive the servants to this group here and this group there. And all of that takes place when they will have nobody to aid and to assist them, and they will have nobody to defend them, and they have nobody to save them. So this increases the servant in his tawakkul, because he's the one that granted from his servant success. On the day that the servants were destroyed, a group of them were driven to his paradise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he places his trust in Allah, and he completely relinquishes all of his affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's pleased with what pleases Allah Jalla Jalalu, for what he has decreed for him subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he's decreed for the servant. The servant is pleased with all of that. So he sufficed to know that Allah Azza wa Jalla will suffice him. And then he says, and we'll come to the end inshallah ta'ala, and then upon occasion, he reminds us of his might and how he, Jalla Jalalu, is deserving alone to boast of that which he has given and that which he gives, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the servants. So this should humble the servants, that their hearts may be full of his fear, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and glorification and in awe of him. So they will find with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, solace. And that knowledge will therefore be seen upon their tongues, upon their bodies, in their thinking, and how they carry themselves. Why? Because they were from those that they knew their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala with his descriptions. And all of them return back to his rububiyyah, he says here. And he says, and upon occasion, he shows them the reality of his uluhiyyah. What does it mean that Allah Azza wa Jalla is your Lord? What does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Lord? He says, is that you have with him or for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a specific love and a desire to meet him, jalla jalalu, and that you seek solace with him and that you are happy with what pleases him. So you are pleased with absolute servitude to him, and that you strive your best and your utmost to compete for his pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi qurbihi wa tawaddudihi ilayhi bi ta'atihi jalla jalalu. And you do so in obedience to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and upon gratitude to him. So the servant turns to his Lord, imploring him and asking him, وَالْفِرَارُ مِنَ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيْهِ, and that you race away from the creation back to Allah. وَيُسِيرُ هُوَ الْوَحْدُ يعني هُوَ وَحْدُ هَمُّهُ دُونَ مَا سِوَاهُ, to the extent that there will be nothing of importance to you but him. And that cannot happen, he says, until the servant realizes the reality of the connection between al-rububiyyah wal-uluhiyyah. And it is that he is completely impoverished to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he seeks his aid and his assistance. And that cannot take place except that the servant is able to see the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of his kingdom, and that you are able to see the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his pardoning, and that you are able to see the wisdom of Allah in his decree and that which he has yani allotted to you, and that you see the blessing of Allah. Imagine he's talking about the worship of Allah and its reality. He said that will never take place until you see the blessing of Allah in his trial for you. You have been trialed, Sahih Abdullah, you've been trialed. He tested you. He tested you of your wealth, your poverty, your family, your children, your wife, your kids, whatever it is. But until you realize that that test that he has granted you is a blessing, you'll never really feel what it is to worship him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, and likewise, he will not feel it until you realize that he's ata, that which he has granted you is likewise that which he has prohibited for you. It is for you. What Allah does not give you is good for you, and what he gives you is good for you. And that you understand and you know his kindness and benevolence and his mercy, fi qayyumiyatihi, in the fact that he is self-sufficient, not in need, and everything is impoverished to him. And that you understand that his justice is found in his intiqam, his fair and equal retribution, jalla jalalu. So the servant is able to see his blessing in his commandments and inside of his prohibitions. So he sees the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his pleasure alone. And he doesn't yani desire for himself to obtain yani his anger in order that he may fulfill yani some lowly desire. Allah ta'ala musta'an. Then he says, and this is a nice rad, you know, we end up on this point. He says, so if you were to ponder over the entire Quran and you're able to understand and know Allah like we've spoken of here, and you still decide to follow the opinion of the yani philosophers from the people of disbelief, whether they attribute themselves to Islam or not, he said, if you still do not understand Allah, how Ahlul Sunnah yani have understood Allah like this, and you have chosen that path for them for yourselves, then he says that I am a witness against you in front of Allah, because you have been warned. And he goes on to swear an oath that I've never seen a man swear with and by. وَيْحٌ لِمَنْ خَالَفَ اِعْتِقَادَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ فَوَفَقَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْجَمِيعِ لِمَا يُحِبُّ وَيَرْضَى وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْمَعِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.